Hello and welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. This is your host, Carter Rodriguez, Justin Rowan. We're giving him the night off. So to join me is our permanent third wheel, Ryan Morton. How you doing, Mort?
Thank you. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride, but I can live with it.
For this podcast, technically, yeah, that's exactly what you are. The Cavs are coming off a fresh 113-102 loss to the Pistons. That was not remotely as close as the score indicates. But that's okay.
Better than usual.
It's better than usual, because normally the score is as bad as it indicates.
Baby steps.
Baby We're not playing steps.
Who the hell did they beat? The Hornets.
Yeah, they're
who just lost to the Hornets, the Celtics.
Yeah, so one could argue those two teams are just as good as one another. A two-game losing streak ain't shit, man.
24 more games to go.
Yeah. Alan Sexton's looking not bad. Your thoughts?
He looks like a guy that is growing, right? And I've mentioned this about a million times, but it still happens to me crazy. Like, you know, five games in, people are like, oh my God, I don't see how he's ever going to be good. I mean, it's five games in. And, you know, earlier today, one of my friends, someone who's very dear to me, and hopefully he doesn't hear this, but he probably will, like, man, I just watch and, you know, how is he going to succeed with the shot selection? And it's like, bro.
Are we talking about our good friend Jeff Nomina, friend of the pod?
I love you, Jeff. Obviously, if he does not grow at all from having played 3 weeks in the NBA, he probably will not have a great career.
The offense is definitely ahead of the defense right now. The shot selection is mediocre at best, but like, same time, he is going to have to hit some of these threes if he's going to be an efficient offensive player. And to his credit, he keeps making them, dude.
And that's where you want to build, right? Like, you need to build. So if you're going to build a house, you need a foundation to build on. And
is that how that works?
Yeah, you want to eradicate the mid-range, but you need to start somewhere. So you let him establish a comfort zone. He's comfortable taking these mid-range shots. You wish he wouldn't. He's doing well shooting the three, and you have a basis to move him back and say, look how well you're doing this thing. Not so great, you know. And we've seen a lot of players that are not DeMar DeRozan. As you show them these numbers, they kind of acclimate to that. So I don't think it's terrible. Like, there's, you know, he's still shooting over 90% on his free throws. He's shooting well for threes. He's not getting blocked as much as he was, which is something
that matters. I thought that was a thing he was going to have to work on, because he is just a little small. I think he's 10 of 14 on his last 14 threes.
Ooh.
Like, I know that's not like going to maintain, obviously, because he's not like the best shooter of all time. Like, the Celtics can tell you about how a rookie's 3-point shooting is not always sustainable.
Hey, he's only 19. And that's true. Can you believe that? He's only 19. Can you believe that he's a rookie hitting threes and is also only 19?
Can't even believe it. No, that whole team was like – that whole team ran into a sophomore wall, even though not all of them were sophomores.
So very sad.
Yeah, not sad about it at all. But Sexton's three is going. He still doesn't get all the way to the rim as well as you'd like on offense, but like – and he is going to have to – I think if he's going to hit – be the kind of player we need him to be, he's not, he's going to need to be a better free throw drawer, but it's not like he's terrible, you know?
Right. And you know, you expect a lot of that. Those are the areas where I would expect growth, right? So as you progress through your NBA career, you're going to learn change of pace. You're going to learn, you know, he's going to need several different escalation moves as far as changing his angle and his speed to the basket. And as you gain weight and muscle, you're going to be able to finish more and seek out more contact. So I think those are things that are perfectly normal. Doesn't mean he's going to be great. I don't know. Probably not. but
yeah, almost no one is.
Yeah, so
and he's the eighth pick.
I think this is a basis to build on. You're talking about, you know, an eighth pick, and it's not bad. I mean, there's promising things there. I don't think he's supposed to be a franchise changing piece. I think he's supposed to be a supplemental piece to the things that these next 2 years of what looks like it's going to be really bad basketball are going to bring you.
Yeah, you know, maybe this is like too simplistic. It probably is. He has officially hit the point where I'm happy to see him checking in.
Yeah.
And that's not insignificant because there was a stretch where I was like, oh, geez.
I mean, he's supplanted, and this is heresy. But.
Oh, no.
I know.
You're saying it, aren't you?
I am. I am much happier to see him in games, and I am happy to see. I'm almost shedding a tear when I say this. I'm taking a break from Jetty.
Our large adult son.
My largest 5 years of Jetty tweets are being thrown out the window right now.
He's been pretty not great. Though he had a couple good quarters today, and that made me feel a little bit better.
Yeah. I'm going to blame the back injury. You know, I mean, he looked really good for a couple games. You've got an ever-changing role. He's moved up to power forward a bit. He hurt his back. There's a lot happening there. I don't know that they even have like defensive coaches. I mean, we know they
or offensive coaches, incidentally. Yeah.
So there's a lot there. I mean, he's also shown some things that you like and that you can build on. But man, he's been having a rough couple weeks.
Yeah, he just can't score right now. And they've kind of taken the ball out of his hands. Like, and ultimately, like that's probably a mistake. Like, even if he's going to struggle, like you'd rather have him running some pick and roll than like Rodney Hood. Who I just can't, Ryan, I can't watch him come off another stupid dribble handoff.
Yeah. Give a lot to just send Rodney Hood and Jordan Clarkson somewhere nice.
Yeah. I mean, Clarkson has at least done the thing where it's like, okay, he's going to have a good 5 minute stretch where it's like, we might get to see the Cavs close a gap if things break just right. Like, Rodney is just brutal, man. And, like, I can't see him pass up another open three to attack a flat-footed defender and run straight into his chest. Oh. Have you noticed how many open threes that guy gets that he just doesn't take? Because he's, like,
I can like get around
he's assuming
this guy,
a closeout is coming, but a closeout isn't coming. Like, if guys closed out as fast on Rodney Hood as Rodney Hood thinks they do, man. Then he would be one of the best attackers in the game.
That reminds me of something I saw at the beginning of the game. Something I haven't seen all year, actually. Somebody closed out too hard, and we were talking about Colin's shot
earlier. Yeah, he blasted by him.
Right, so his shot has, and hopefully, has garnered some attention. Or has shown you, you know, where it needs to be to garner attention for him to be able to use his speed to get to the basket. I don't know that I've seen anyone respect his shot that much all year. So that was that was a good development. I mean, and it's an elementary move, right? Everyone should be able to attack a closeout. But again, that's the kind of thing
we're dealing with elementary moves and elementary growth.
Yeah, and I think that's fair, right?
Yeah, like,
you're just trying to see basketball skills as you grow a teenager into an NBA player.
Yeah. And I thought, I think this is one of Colin's best games. I mean, 18-4 in 24 minutes on 10 shots is nothing to sneeze at. And no turnovers, which is nice.
Right.
Yeah. You know, funny enough, the Cavs like didn't have that horrible of an offensive game. I mean, they had only 9 turnovers, only 16 assists because no one can pass or dribble on the team.
They're not defending anybody.
Ooh, no, they are not, man.
Man, Larry was
Larry has been high-key not great, Bob.
Yeah, things are looking bad for Akron's second favorite son.
Yeah, he might be their third favorite behind Keith Dambrot or something this rate. It's
Wardell's making up ground.
Speaking of, Wardell more athletic than Russ Westbrook Curry. Or so Twitter tells me.
You know, it's always going to be a bad day when RPM comes out.
It's the worst day of the year, Ryan.
The worst basketball day of the year. The RPM is posted. I have seen.
I think Justin tweeted something.
Yeah,
Justin tweeted something like, "A lot of people don't have to watch games for the rest of the year now."
Right.
Like, and they're off.
Listen, and that's nothing against statistics or.
Of course not.
Oh, there's so many great.
We're not mouth breathers here. We appreciate a good stat.
There's so many great and useful things that you can use, and I just haven't found a worthwhile application for something that, I mean, they don't even tell you how it's used. And we've all had these same talking points for years, so this is probably boring people. But
all
I'll
say is Jeremias Engelman or whatever the fuck his name is should stand trial.
Hey, it's your show.
I don't think he's going to be listening to this one. I think we're safe.
I've seen at least 100 tweets today.
Don't at him.
From various teams. Oh, yeah, if you're that guy that wants to bring someone into the conversation, don't do it. It's public. We don't care. But you're just being a chotch. Like, don't let him find it organically. And I don't think either of us are going to – I mean, A, I didn't say it. And B
– You didn't deny it, though.
You work for ESPN, and you probably make more than I do. Go home and eat a sandwich. You should have just sat there and ate your food. Yeah.
You managed to trick nerds across the world. So who's the real winner here?
I've seen so many tweets there. Like, here's how your Sixers rank in RPM. Here's where your Pelicans are ranked.
Like, RPM, least favorite days on the NBA calendar is RPM day, schedule release day. I think those have got to be the two worst for me, because it's just like, I could not possibly care what the best game on March 17th is in late August.
It's actually kind of wild that you and most women have the same least favorites when old RPM comes through, because the worst stat ever created matches my initials, and it's absolutely infuriating.
What's your middle name, Ryan?
Something incredibly Irish. Don't worry about it.
I would love to hear it.
No, I'm not giving out my government.
Ryan.
So,
Ryan.
Another thing we could probably talk about is David Nwaba.
Yeah, I was going to get there, but I still want to know your middle name. That's Percival?
Oh, man.
Can I guess embarrassing ones to try to coax the more reasonable?
It's not embarrassing. It's like literally the most common name on the planet. But
potato.
Okay, not that Irish.
Sorry. Yeah, Nwaba looks great.
Ryan Potato Morton.
It's a fitting name for your personality.
Look out, folks. He's got a lot of carbs and starch.
Do you think Nwaba should just be starting at this point?
If
nothing else for our spirit.
And I don't think they're in a position where you can make spirit starts, right? And I think a lot has been made of – listen, hear me out. A lot has been made of, they signed Nwaba and they haven't given him a chance to make good on his make-good contract. Well, they offered him 2 years and he wanted one. They didn't want the one. He wanted the one. And two, like, you gotta play these guys if you want to trade them. You know, you're still in November. You're still, I would think, hoping to find a taker for Rodney Hood, hoping to find a taker for Jordan Clarkson. George Hill's going to come back, and you're going to want something for him. So you gotta play, you know, all these guys that none of us want to see. And no offense to any of them, they're just, you know, guys that have been around for a while on a team that doesn't look like it's going anywhere. So best wishes. Please make your money in a different city. We wish you all the best.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, I remember you were saying this about Zizic, about people kind of like fretting about him not getting to play. And it's like, we'll find time. It's a long year. Yeah.
There's nothing I don't know about Ante Zizic.
Yeah.
You know, in November.
It's Speaking of Zizic, it's been a rough Kevin Love out time for him, where you were hoping he might, like, you know, make good with the extra time. He barely can hold onto the basketball, though he had a decent total garbage time fourth when no one was trying to stop him, so that's nice.
Yeah. He has an NBA skill, one NBA skill, in that he has really incredible touch around the rim. I mean, it seems like
you see that weird ass floater he put up that just rolled through in the fourth.
Yeah, anytime he's near the hoop, I mean, I think he's shooting like what, 75% this year.
Got to be up there. Like, I mean, barely shoots.
But his shots are sometimes like he makes contested layups. He really does have great touch around the rim. But man, I don't know what else is there. And that's
But in fairness, I guess like him having that one NBA skill is like one more NBA skill, and one you would think the Cavs would actually kind of need, at least this stupid team. But I guess it doesn't really matter, you know.
Well, just, and maybe if they had like a shooter, a third shooter, yeah. I can see where if you had a lot of guys that defended pretty well and could shoot, where he'd have some use, right? He rebounds well. He has great touch around the basket. He seems to set a decent enough screen, but man, he does not move his feet on defense.
He just can't. I mean, he's also like still sneaky, pretty weak.
Sneaky. I wasn't expecting you to go with weak. I heard that sneaky, and I was like, okay.
No, I wasn't going to go with racial coding. No, it's just like he's big, but he's not very strong. Like Pachulia was just manhandling him a lot when he was like trying to fight for position. Same with Drummond. Like, and those guys, and I mean, both those guys are strong dudes. Don't get me wrong, but like he does get bullied quite a bit. It's not like in summer league where, you know, if you are a fan of Zizic, you saw him kind of muscling through 6'8", G leaguers. It's just a
right.
Zizic is actually like one of those great test cases for like, oh no, that's the difference. Like, that's the difference between the G League and the NBA. It's very like, he's like perfectly right in the middle of those two things where you can really see his limitations.
Yeah. He has a lot of 4A to him.
Who?
4A.
Oh, yeah.
Not like a baseball thing. AAA, you're not.
Yeah, quadruple A. Is the bit.
Yeah,
no, that's fair. Other than that, you know, it's like there's not that much to discuss with this roster right now. I think.
Oh, there's way more interesting things to discuss in the NBA, man.
Oh, yeah, the NBA is great.
It's Wizards Day.
Oh, what a Wizards Day, indeed.
The Washington Wizards are coming apart at the seams. This is a day so blessed that the Cavs being terrible does not matter. Kevin Durant full on melting down.
It's been a banner year for you somehow.
Hey man, I never lose. The Cavs might lose. You guys might lose. I do not lose.
Yeah, you find your wins. The thing that's funny about Wall is like it, based on my very marginal reading of the situation. It seems like the altercation started by Scott Brooks asking him to care. And he was like, fuck you.
Hey, I'm really sorry about that, though. How do you get in a fight with Jeff Green? Who fights?
Jeff, the chillest dude on earth, Green.
Jeff Green is the most happy to be here. And I mean that in a good way. Like, he's the most happy to be here person. Other than Jetty, that I have ever encountered.
Yeah, everyone loves Jeff Green.
Everyone loves Jeff Green. Every time he speaks in public, he's just like, yeah, you know, I almost died. I almost couldn't play basketball anymore. I'm just really happy to exist, man. And, wow, I get to play basketball professionally. Isn't that great? And John Wall managed to run afoul of that man.
Did you see this tweet that Justin responded to? This guy said, this Wizards blogger, his name's Ben Mehik. He writes for the Step Back and Bullets Forever. He said about the trade rumors. that Wall and Beal were on the market. If the report is true, shame on Ted Leonsis for selling John Wall a fake dream, only to value a historically awful GM more than the sacrifices Wall has made for the franchise. What sacrifices?
My guy, he's going to be getting paid $46 million when he's 34. Like, I mean, he's
real.
He played through a broken hand.
Didn't he get up to like $47 million?
Yeah, it's like 46 and some change. Oh, maybe closer.
Jesus Christ.
Like, the average of his deal that starts next year doesn't
next start year.
His deal starts next year in the AAV is $42 million per season.
Yeah, he goes up to 46.8. in 2023 when he's 32. And
I thought he was older. And so that's the other thing.
Like, yeah, but he's going to be playing like 30. This is not a guy who's going to last in the NBA past 33, 34.
So, yeah, he can't shoot, and he's got bad knees, and he looks
– he's fat.
For him, like – yeah, he looks – well, I was going to say, I'm fat.
Yeah.
But for him, he looks heavy as hell. And he's got all your washed player traits, right? He got the braids. He has
the twisties. Is where careers go to die.
Yeah, you get the twisties and you get the sleeves after like a decade in the league. Dwight Howard has them. I mean. Yeah, you get those late bloomer tattoos.
I love the Dwight. Dwight actually is just sneak. Dwight's recent capacity to put up great stat lines in 20-point losses in the last 2 years has been truly inspiring. Like, they were down like 20. I'm like, oh, man, everyone would be having a terrible game. It's like Dwight at 25 and 17.
Oh, man.
Like, you know, if you were watching, it wouldn't look good. It wouldn't look right.
No. I actually feel bad. I never thought I'd say this, but I feel bad for Dwight.
Oh, yeah, totally,
His injury sounds miserable.
He's hurt all the time. It clearly ruined his career. And, like, unlike a lot of guys who get hurt and it ruins their career, no one wants to admit that that's what ruined Dwight's career.
Well, because it's not something that's, like, super visible, right?
Yeah,
like, nobody
his back got hurt, and he couldn't jump quite right anymore.
Yeah, nobody knows about a back. Like, you see a dude dragging his leg, and you're like, oh, man, yeah, that, you know, the knees blew him up. But
and there's also, like, just the general no one liked him, and Shaq – I think Shaq truly poisoned the well against Dwight, like, in the narrative.
Maybe.
I know Dwight also is a shitty person, and no one likes him.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like he did a lot of himself by being so big and whining so much. Like, man,
yeah, totally.
Playing the Cavs playing those Magic teams were just a nightmare and infuriating. Like, he's elbowing people in the head and then
I'll never forget him knocking Big Z out.
Yeah.
That was like, I've never seen a person fall slower than Zydrunas Ilgauskas. After he got that stray elbow, I tried to find it on YouTube like a year ago. I was trying to explain to someone like how he got absolutely destroyed, and it took him a full 9 seconds to hit the floor.
Man, how fun would this team be if it had 37-year-old Z on it?
Oh, hell yeah!
I mean, I don't know how old he is now, but just that guy that would shoot threes but not really move a whole lot. I don't care.
I loved that man. Hell, I want Channing Frye to be that guy. Put him in the game. I don't give a shit.
They got to play him on Wednesday.
They should play him all. I really don't see the point in not playing him. I mean, it's not like they're doing that. It's not like they're working towards anything. That's the thing about like why I was like, why not just start Nwaba? They're not working towards anything.
Towards trading these guys.
Are they?
Well.
Are they?
I mean, I guess that's true. You would hope they are. That's what would make sense to me. But, I mean, this was their attempt at contending, so.
Yikes.
Hey, man.
It's not a rebuild, goddammit.
Every one of, like, the top six players in the draft looks amazing. So,
Yeah, let's hit on. I'm interested in your opinion on these guys, but let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk about the draft. We've said it a million times, but if you're going to suffer through this Cavs season with us, you're going to need some skin in the game. Whether you're an expert or a rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. There's so much to bet on. College basketball, NFL, NHL, pretty much any sport you want. It's the one bet we know you're going to be happy with all year. We recommend these guys because we really trust them. MyBookie has been in business for years. They've got great online reviews, and their mobile site is easy to use. Sign up this week. MyBookie is going to give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way to bank even more money when you win. Also, make sure to follow at BetMyBookie on Twitter. They personally respond to every mention and DM, not to mention they've given away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season. You'll be the first to know as soon as new odds and props are posted. Don't miss out on one of the best weeks to bet on sports this year. Log on to MyBookie right now and use promo code BLUEWIRE to get 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. You play, you win, you get paid. I'll tell you what, these ad reads are easier when you can play a little tag team with your co-host, but without Justin, we trudge on. All right, we're back with Ryan Morton of FearTheSword.com, our loyal third wheel. Mort, you just said draft looking very good. Have you watched much, or are you just sort of depending on the internet to inform you? Because I know you're not much of a college basketball guy.
I have actually dragged myself to watching a couple Duke games.
And it's almost not terrible.
This is how bad it is. Yeah, Duke's actually a little viewable. And the Cavs are to the point where the bar by my apartment is now playing college basketball pretty frequently.
Yeah, anytime. It's funny. I'm so used to being in Columbus, which, like, ultimately does not give a shit about the Cavs, I would argue.
Oh, not at all.
Like, it's just so OSU crazy that nothing else can really exist in that space except, like, maybe the Browns on an NFL Sunday. But, like, yeah, for it to be – flipping for you in your neighborhoods, that's
right.
It's not great, Bob. Imagine for me for a moment, Ryan,
and
walking up to
the,
that bartender and saying, "Excuse me, sir, could you please put on Cavs Pistons?"
It's on. It's always the Cavs. They're still always on, and they still have drink specials and stuff at all the bars I really go to. But man, it is not obviously. It's not moving bodies a whole lot, and college basketball, and it helps that there's somebody on all the top teams, right? You have the kids from Duke, you have Keldon Johnson in Kentucky, you have Little in
– You have been watching, wow.
Yeah, in North Carolina. Who's the kid from Indiana?
Romeo Langford, I think his name is.
Langford in Indiana.
I haven't watched him at all.
There's some Indiana around here with it being Big Ten. Quentin Grimes in Kansas. USC even has a player this year. So yeah,
it does kind of feel to me, though, like it's – I mean, Bol Bol in Oregon as well. It does kind of feel to me, I'm not that high on him. It feels like it's like the top three guys is really where the drop-off is. But, I could be wrong.
I mean – definitely, it seems like those are the guys that are going to be amazing. Here's the thing, and this is so incredibly early, right? So it shouldn't matter. The only thing I worry about with college players, and this is the only ones I've really looked into, is kids from Duke. RJ Barrett does not get any steals or blocks. And if you're listening to that and you think I'm a giant dumbass, I totally
understand. That matters.
I totally understand because it sounds like the dumbest thing to worry about. But, I mean, we've had so many arguments, right, going back to, like, 2013 when they had when they were drafting Andrew Wiggins. And how they apply their athleticism really shows up in those steal and block numbers. Doug McDermott is a guy that comes to mind. He had, like, 6 blocks over his entire college career. So – you know, it's something that probably changes, but it's something worth keeping an eye on. Because if they get to the end of the year and RJ Barrett only has
RJ Barrett currently, just for a frame of reference, 0 blocks, 2 steals on the season in 4 games.
Right. And so that means he played tonight and had 0 and 0 because it was at 2 when I looked after 3 games.
Yeah.
So
three mediocre games in a row, by the way, really, for him.
Right.
He shot 5 of 14 tonight.
Yeah. But I mean, you need more than 4 games. It's not the end of the world, but a kid that's athletically dominant, not hitting the three, not applying it in ways that you see Cam Reddish and Zion Williamson. I mean, Zion is blowing up both those categories, and Reddish is averaging like 2 or 3 steals a game. So, dumb thing that I pay attention to, but more often than not, when you look at players that really eye-poppingly don't fill up either of those categories, you're going to find some guys that cannot defend at all because they don't apply their athleticism properly.
Yeah, it's definitely something to keep an eye on, and not something I'd really been tracking very well, so I'm going to keep an eye on that. For what it's worth, Zion had his first bad shooting game, 5 of 11. But still managed 5 steals.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a guy that's all over the court. Like,
yeah.
So I would currently say RJ third.
Reddish is such a weird case, but I think he's going to be the kind of – it feels like he's the riser because he's a little bit bigger than RJ. I think he's like 6'8", 6'9", whereas Reddish – or Barrett's 6'7", 6'8". And Reddish can fucking shoot, man. He's taking 8 threes a game right now and hitting 44% of them.
Right. That's where I think, you know, he is a guy that I really like. And
you know what's interesting with him is that he does have the book on him is that he doesn't really love the game or doesn't have the crazy passion or the fire. But I will say he is like so willing as a shooter. Like there are a lot of these guys who kind of want to sit and survey. Like the second he has an inch on a closeout, he's firing.
That's what you need today. Yeah. Like, yeah. I think he's more prototypical than Barrett.
He feels more modern.
I'm glad Justin is not on this show right now because he would literally murder me.
Yeah, I mean, if you put a gun to my head right now, I would still probably go with Barrett first, actually, just because I think he kind of – I just understand him in the pro game the best and think he fits the Cavs the best, and I think it's so close between these guys. I don't trust the Cavs with Zion. I don't think they're going to do it right.
Oh, he's a point guard. What?
Why are you like they're just going to do something weird, you know?
Right. No, I could see that. Man, yeah, I'm actually embarrassed at how much I'm paying attention to this stuff now.
Yeah, you mentioning like 5 college players and one of whom I wasn't quite sure of. I was like, oh, shit. Mort is paying attention.
Listen, wow. Man. It's a good year. It's actually a year where a lot of these guys – you know, and there's a lot of bad free throw shooters among them. So that's something else to pay attention to. Keldon Johnson and Nasir Little don't hit free throws, which is a bad trend when you're projecting their shooting ability.
Yeah. RJ is only at 59% for the year. It's weird.
Right.
And I think there's another one for Reddish who hasn't missed a free throw yet, but right, he hasn't really drawn a lot either. So. Yeah, it does feel like it's going to be that way. But let's before we wrap it up, we got to talk about it, Mort. On Wednesday, LeBron comes to town. hugely sigh-inducing. It's going to be weird. Before we jump into the Vardon article, I'm just curious, how are you feeling?
I mean, it's fine. You know, so 2016 was so freeing because every time he was here in Miami, it was a banner of like what you missed out on. Right. And so I think you see a lot of that now with Heat fans. Like it's been 4 years and there's Miami Heat publications that still go on about did LeBron need us or do we need him? And it's like, the reason that happens is because you have something tangible that you miss. Like he left and he won another title. When he left here, he won multiple titles. And it's like, man, he could have been winning titles here.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it at that point, you know, not while KD is in Golden State. And even then, if he were to leave, like, I don't think the Cavs are capable of retooling in a meaningful way once they dealt Kyrie. And yes, there's just like a lot of closure there. Like, they won the title in maybe the coolest possible fashion you could. And that 52-year-old Band-Aid was ripped off. And so now it's just like, hey, man, like, there's a dude from, you know, about 10 minutes away. He's back. That's pretty dope.
How do you think the reception's going to be?
I'll
bet he gets some cheers, because I think the Cavs are going to try to induce them. And I think
they're playing a tribute video.
Yeah, I think the way Game Ops handles this stuff, like, everyone kind of makes fun of that. And, like, sure, I get it. But, like, it's going to – when you play a video of him blocking Iggy,
yeah,
people aren't going to be able to help it. They're just going to want to cheer.
I think he's going to get a pretty warm reception, because I think all the people that would give him a negative reception are going to be at home on their computers and on the phone calling the local radio station.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know, the people that are so mad about it, and we see not a ton. That's the other thing. Like, we don't see anywhere near as much as we would have, you know, 5 years ago. So there's the internet reception has seemed decent enough already. And all the people that seem really mad about it that are commenting to me are people that, you know, are probably not going to go to the game anyway.
Yeah.
And surely some of them are, and it's not to disrespect them at all, but I think it's going to be a minority. And I think once they show that video, you know, especially compared to the product that's currently on the court, I think people are going to give him the respect he's earned.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm sure there will be a smattering of boos, and that will allow dipshits on Twitter to victory lap about how shitty Cavs fans are.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, we'll find a way. Someone in Cleveland will find a way to let, you know, whoever wants to be that guy, post a 6-second video clip and be like, wow, man, they're really awful.
Yeah. But you know what? Fuck those people. In fairness.
You cuss a lot.
Oh, come on. Don't do that.
That's so rude. Has anyone informed Blue Apron?
Blue Wire.
Oh, sorry.
You dick. I think the next step with this discussion is the Vardon article, where he kind of says the Kyrie trade was the beginning of the end. And I guess this is what I don't like about LeBron is the retconning of history. And he's right. So good at it, man.
Yeah. I mean,
like, he is such a master. He's such a master at controlling the message.
Right. Well, but a lot of that is also stuff we knew, right? So he's a master of controlling the message, and the message is mostly probably true.
I would argue, I just can't shake the idea that everyone, there are so many people that seemed to know right away that he was going to LA. Like,
right.
After the title in 2016, like, maybe he wouldn't have gone right away, but like,
so that's the thing, right?
Things had been determined, is my general point. It felt like Kyrie knew. I think Barden mentioned in a Final Thoughts piece recently, or no, Lloyd mentioned in his Tristan Thompson profile, like, it felt like Tristan knew that LeBron was gone before, a long time before the rest of us. It's like,
yeah. Yeah, so a lot of people knew, and we all said last year, like, that seemed like the reason Kyrie was so determined to not be around, right? And so that's where the brilliance of LeBron in these situations comes in. Like, the throwaway quote is that was the beginning of the end, because we know that's the part that is not true.
Yeah.
But everything around it is either true enough or believable enough that we can focus on that and say, oh, this is what drove him away. No, I mean, the reason Kyrie wanted to leave was because there's no trust in the organization, you know, while LeBron is gone. And, you know, he would have been mired here probably forever. And hopefully that's not the case. But, I mean, there's no reason to think otherwise. They were terrible before LeBron came back. This is their attempt at contending now.
Yep, not great.
And, you know, I mean, we've seen
no organizational continuity. All the guys on the title team gone.
Yeah, you know, everyone's blown up. You don't keep a general manager. You don't keep the assistant general manager. You don't keep your head coach for more than six games. You didn't keep Jim Boylan because you wanted.
Yeah, it's so funny because the Cavs don't deserve LeBron organizationally.
Right.
But then, like, I still can't help but want to push back when everyone goes, yep, Gilbert lost him. And it's like, he's so good at ducking that, like, culpability of, like, yeah, I was already planning on leaving. But,
yeah, I mean, it can be both, right? Like, clearly the Cavs are mismanaged. But immediately in 2016, like, it seemed pretty obvious. And, you know, it was contestable, but especially after the move was made, all the people that are like, well, yeah, you know, and all the people that were saying LA the entire time, you know, for two whole years, really seems to drive home the point that he was doing that regardless, and his kids didn't really want to live here anymore.
Yeah, and he's so smart too, because he also doesn't all the way commit. He's not like a Paul George. He's like, yeah, I'm signing in LA if you don't trade me or whatever. Because he's also not dumb enough to close the door. Like, if something weird happened with LA and they looked even worse than they do now, or like something, you know, like things weren't lining up, he always had the chance. He always had the option to go back. He never closed that door, but it seemed pretty obvious that he had, like, it was all but closed for quite some time. But, you know, I guess whatever, you know, like, I'm not mad about it.
No.
Like, I mean, it's just kind of the way it is. I just kind of wish
the victors rewrite history. Right?
Yeah, and he kind of gets to set that narrative and also like
LeBron.
And also like, like, what is the better article for Joe Vardon to write? Like, the one with a direct conversation with LeBron James, right, or the one where he speculates that LeBron was leaving anyway?
Right, and the Cavs aren't in a position where they can, you know, as was very famous of the last tanking years, you know, it seems like there would be a Dan conference every few months, or he'd be on the broadcast, or, you know, some form of gusto. And, I mean, it's so bad right now that I don't know that I've ever seen his, and it's crazy because they just won a title within the last 2 years. I mean, this is probably the worst I've ever seen his reputation. Not nationally, because nationally it was destroyed after that letter.
The letter, yeah.
But it built back up a bit. He stayed out of the way in 2016. So now it's back down nationally and locally.
Everyone knows that LeBron, like, and I maybe LeBron was always going to go to LA leave because he hated Dan. It feels like there's other factors at play, even more than just the movie career. I've always wondered if there was some handshake deal with Nike or something. There was some factor, but like
that lifetime deal. I mean, he could get that. He'd be worth that here. He's worth that anywhere. But opening up that market that had been so anti-LeBron to his gear, I mean, I would love to see.
Dude,
I'm sure Forbes or Rovell will have something on it. I would really love to see the economic impact on Nike of opening up that entire LA market and further out, you know, the entire Kobe market, basically, that hated LeBron because he's vastly better than Kobe, literally from the moment he stepped on a basketball court.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, when I was in LA for a couple weeks for work, I mean, I can't tell you how much LeBron gear is just like every fucking wear. I mean, like, yeah, there are these annoying Kobe stands that make you think that the city doesn't want him, and maybe deep down they don't, but, like, overall, like, there's so much excitement, and it just feels like there's something there. And, you know, no one likes conspiracy theorists, but, hell, there was rumors of him going there, like, a week after they won the title. What else are we supposed to do? What else are we have to do some weird shit, you know?
I mean, we still got – it is barely Thanksgiving. There are still about 5.5 months left, so
I wonder if there will ever be a legitimate, definitive LeBron James like autobiography, like that is not completely controlled by him, or not autobiography, just biography. Sorry,
right?
Like, I wonder if we'll ever get the real LeBron story.
I don't think so, because by the time that would be around, you know. I guess it all depends on what Bronny would do and how that would impact. And that's the thing with LeBron. He's six moves ahead, and releasing that story might impact some, you know,
political. I just don't think he's interested in us getting to know the real him. Like, even on the projects where he is otherwise appearing to be open, he's not.
Right.
Like, dude, there's such a difference between his barbershop show and Kevin Durant's podcast with Bill Simmons. Like, Durant's just like a fucking loose cannon.
Right.
And LeBron is pretending to be a loose cannon.
I mean, he's been the biggest brand in sports for
15 years.
15 years.
Maybe a little less if we're giving him a couple years to get revved up, but regardless. Yeah.
He mentions one thing and it's a national topic for, I mean, he has a
yeah, I'm not being critical, to be clear. It's just interesting.
Yeah. No, and I'm not saying you are. I just, you know, I think that's something that's always been fascinating to me is how do you exist as LeBron when literally anything you mention is a topic?
Yeah.
I mean, he favorites the tweet. It's a topic. 100 times more so than any
likes other an Instagram player. Post, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, likes an Instagram post. Oh, LeBron said a nice thing about, you know, I mean, he so much as says, I like cheese. And there's going to be people in the cheese lobby running with that for years.
Like, yeah.
How would you exist under that kind of scrutiny? Because we have our meager followings, you know, for our crappy basketball takes. And even that sometimes feels like it's a lot. Like, man, I don't want to tweet about this because
I'll get some bullshit in my mentions.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want all these mentions. I don't want people at SB to, you know, feel grief. My other bosses follow me. I don't want them seeing that. Now imagine you're literally the most famous person on the planet other than, like, the king of some country or the queen of England.
I'd like to take a quick aside for everyone to ponder what you don't tweet.
Me?
Given that you're actively filtering yourself.
Oh, man, there's a lot. I probably have like 10 or 15 things a day where I'm like, you know what?
Nope.
That is too far.
Too far.
I mean, you've seen me. I dance around. I don't go directly vulnerable.
No, you tell the line for better or worse. But, you know, I always joke that, like, the greatest example of LeBron, like, LeBron's faux genuineness is when he went off on Barkley. Because, like, it felt like he just lost his shit on him. But he had, like, 9 things ready to say.
Oh, yeah. The last time he was mad, and it turned into a Nike. So that's the thing. Every time he's mad about something, it turns into a Nike commercial, right? Like, he's mad at Charles Barkley, and then, oh, here's the Nike commercial. You know, he's not a role model. He's mad at the dumb Nazi salute lady. I don't remember her name.
Laura Ingraham makes it into a documentary.
Okay, well, I was getting into a really interesting thing because I didn't know her name, and I had a good burn about how she hasn't earned me knowing her name.
Oh, I'm sorry.
With her crappy, I don't even know, I don't know, whatever her name is. But, yeah, so he's mad at her. Oh, now he's got a documentary. Like, every time he's mad at someone or outraged about something,
it's leveraged.
It's immediately a show. So,
yeah, it's funny. Like, it's actually, but like to your point, and I never really thought about it this way, but I think you're actually spot on. It's the only way he can live.
Right. Like, I mean, everything he does is immediately a thing.
He doesn't get to just be like Tim Duncan and have some quiet thoughts.
Or, you know, Steph Curry. I mean, even Steph is the second most popular basketball player on the planet. And the disparity of how he's covered, and it's nothing against Steph at all. And it's not saying, you know, it's not a dick measuring contest.
Yeah. I always hate that. Like, oh, well, imagine if he were covered that way. It's like, well, do we want him to be? No. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not saying that in a dick measuring way of, well, LeBron gets this and Steph doesn't. I'm saying, like, the disparity
in how crazy the LeBron coverage is.
Exactly. Like, it's insane how much more under the microscope than literally everybody else he is, other than maybe Tiger Woods when he crashed his car. Nobody else has been dug through that thoroughly that I can think of. And
yeah, but the thing is, LeBron doesn't really have to fuck up to get that kind of attention. Everyone else has to, like, fuck up. Like, if Steph got caught cheating on his wife or something, like, crazy like that, like, and it was, like, public, then Steph would get maybe that level of attention that LeBron gets.
There's baseball players that have to do that just for you to know who they are. You know,
dude,
if some random dude for the Cardinals didn't say some racist shit, like, you'd have no idea who he is or who's that. No, he played for the Brewers this year.
Yeah, the guy whose name we don't know.
But you know who I'm talking about, and then they all wore
jerseys. Yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah. Well, it's funny that you say that, because there was that tweet earlier today where the guy was like, y'all think Russ is more athletic than Steph? Y'all know athleticism is more than jumping high and making mean faces. We talked about it earlier on the pod. But I wanted to make a joke making fun of that guy. So I said, wait, y'all think LeBron is more athletic than? And then I was trying to think of a baseball player. I was like, no one knows any baseball players for me to make the joke, so I had to pick Jason Giambi. I was like, hey, he's a guy people might still know. What was I going to pick? Mike Moustakas?
Yeah. Look out, guy. No, A-Rod doesn't play anymore.
And A-Rod was like a good athlete. I wanted like a tubby white guy.
Oh, man, this is Travis Hafner country. You're right there.
Yeah, but still, like, what percentage of Twitter knows who Travis Hafner is?
Yeah, no, Jason Giambi's really the only other guy I can think of, too.
Yeah, and I had to pick a guy who retired like 9 years ago. That's baseball right now.
No, I think
like baseball.
I think he played for the Indians like 3 years ago, didn't he?
He retired like 5-6 years ago.
Wasn't Tito the manager when he played?
I don't think so.
And he wore a gold thong.
What?
I remember that, man. I hang out.
This podcast has become me learning about weird shit about
these girls I hang out with. They're like
2014. Real into baseball. 2014 was his last year. He was 43 years old.
Good job, Carter.
Yeah, between Giambi's fucking golden thong and the Austin Carr Twitter like that I only just found out about.
Wait, what did Austin Carr like?
You know about the alien, right?
Throw me some of this. No, what are we talking about?
Go to Austin Carr's Twitter right now. We're going to just do this live.
All right, Austin. All right.
Where you and then go to his likes.
Oh. It's Cavs basketball time, Cleveland. Hello, Cleveland.
His likes.
All right, I'm getting there. I got fat thumbs. Takes me a while to type.
Still the top one.
What? How is this? Nobody mentioned this. Oh, man, I got to get a screenshot of this.
You don't have to get a screenshot. He's never going to unlike it. He liked that like months ago, apparently, and I didn't even notice. Justin told me like two podcasts ago.
All right. Oh, yeah, there we go. We got some good swing there. All right.
I still don't even know what the tweet is for.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, let me go back there. Is that in response to somebody or?
It looks like it was tweeted at a porn model.
Oh, my God. It was. Oh, no, a host.
A host.
She's a host.
Of pornography.
And a comedian. Yeah, she's a host on Playboy TV. And of the AVN Awards, but she is not a performer. Although if she is a performer, that's totally okay. That's not where we're going.
Yeah, we're not a shaming.
We're just trying to find out her direct line of work and put a nail on it. I do have to be 18 or older to view her. Just because it's got adult content, but on naked content, it looks like. So,
all right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you want to support the pod, you can go to iTunes, leave us a review. If you want to get into our exclusive Chase Down Discord chat, you can just shoot a screen grab of that review over to chasedownpod@gmail.com. We'll shoot you the invite. So please follow, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, cook the books as much as possible. You can follow Mort. You'll see his Cavs tweets at Fear the Sword. His personal tweets at Ryan_Morton. That's correct, right?
That is correct.
I got it. All right. Didn't even look at them. It's not like we've been friends for several years. So thank you so much for listening to the pod. Justin will be back on Wednesday. We will talk about all the weirdness that's definitely going to come with LeBron's return. And we'll have some fun talking about whatever the hell that beatdown's going to be.
What if they win?
Oh, my God. What if Jetty chases down LeBron?
What if it's – do you remember the Baron Davis – of course you remember Baron Davis.
Of course I remember Baron Davis.
What if it's like the Baron Davis game, Ryan Hollins?
I might cry.
All right, and I know we're signing off, but we need 2 seconds. Who is the Ryan Hollins on this team? Is it Larry?
It's got to be – Larry would be cool.
So the Baron has got to be Colin, right?
Yeah, one would assume.
Okay, yeah.
So hopefully you just get them in full meltdown mode and LeBron's a weirdo. Like, that's what you're hoping for every time the Cavs – or LeBron plays a loaded game is like him just having a complete weird mental breakdown. Because he has this from time to time.
When
he gets, like, too hyped for a game.
He refuses to shoot.
He just gets weird. He has weird games. Anyway, I was mid-sign-off. Thank you so much for coming on, Mort. We will be back on Wednesday. And as always, go Cavs.
Go Cavs, I guess.